grateful for what God is doing. And our study for the last 2 weeks, this is our second week, our theme is on being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit. And this is week two, and we're going to be talking about some things about being led by the Spirit. Let me turn off the light here to make it a little bit easier for you to see the screen. I'm so grateful for God's mercy. You know, every time I've gotten trouble is when I haven't let God lead me. When I was led by what I thought should be chosen and what I thought should be done. And so we're going to talk this week about how we know when God is speaking to us. How do we know when the right thing to do? How do we distinguish His voice? Because that's so important. There's so many voices telling us to do stuff. So many people giving us advice, giving us a direction. How do we know when God is speaking to us? So I want to focus on that this week. Romans 8:14, which is our overall theme verse, says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Amen. If you let the Spirit lead you, you become a son of God. Amen. In fact, the speaker on Friday, I think it was Friday, yes, Friday night, was pretty much taught the way I have been teaching, that when Adam and Eve were created, they were created a three-part being, a body with a soul or human spirit endued with God's Spirit. And that's what made Adam and Eve a son of God. And when they sinned, that spirit covering died. That's why we have to be again, born again. We have to have God's Spirit. Without God's Spirit, the Bible says we are what? None of His. None of His. So today I want to talk about being led by the Spirit and how we make sure that that happens. Well, one of the things we talked about is led by the Spirit means walking in the Word. That means you have to know and read your Bible. You have to know the Word of God, because there's so many voices telling us, "Thus saith the Lord." But if "thus saith the Lord" doesn't line up with what His Word said, you can know right away that that isn't the Lord. Led by the Spirit means, of course, hearing His voice. And we're going to talk about that this week. Led by the Spirit means walking in obedience. It's not just hearing God's voice or reading His Word, but it's putting it into practice in our lives that makes it effective. You know, if the doctor gives you a prescription and all you do is put it in your medicine cupboard, even though you went to the doctor, even though he told you what was wrong with you, even though he's given you the medicine, if you don't take it, you're not going to get well. So it's not just the hearers of the Word, the Bible says, but what? The doers of the Word. And so we need to be doers of the Word. And we have to be reminded of that. That's why we come to church, because we're going to hear a word that's going to remind us about becoming doers of the Word of God. Led by the Spirit means, of course, killing the flesh. This flesh wants to do what it wants to do. You know, this morning, boy, I didn't want to get up. The flesh didn't want to get up. Did not want to get up. Got up and went back to bed. So I said, "Listen, I'm going to set the alarm and give myself 15 more minutes, actually 20 more minutes." And it was like there was no time. I just hit the pillow and already it was again that 20 minutes was gone. And I just had to speak to my flesh and say, "You got to get up. You have to get up." Amen. So the flesh has to be killed, because if you don't and you feed it, it will take over. It will take over. You will manifest all the things that you don't want to do. Amen. So we're going to talk about hearing God's voice. To be led by the Spirit, we have to be listening to God. John 10:27, and I'll be coming back to this verse. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You know, the five senses. Name the five senses. Right. We have hearing, we have sight, touch, taste, and smell, right? The only thing that reaches a baby in the womb is which? Hearing. That's why when a baby is born, they already know the mother's voice. They already know. Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice. When you're truly born of God and you will listen, you will hear His voice. And I know them. and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Isn't that comforting? The shepherd is going to look after his sheep. Let me say that again. The shepherd is going to look after his sheep. If you believe that, that should make you happy. But only if you are a sheep, and only if you are listening to his voice. But if you're listening to his voice and you're a sheep, he says nobody is going to pluck you out of his hand. No matter what, come hell, as they say, or high water, you can depend that God is going to look after you. See, now, let's go a little bit deeper and study about how do we recognize when God is speaking. You know, because there's many voices, and sometimes when, you know, we may even think, well, it's me speaking, that's what I want to do. So how do we distinguish when God is really speaking? Let's look at an example in the Old Testament. We have this little 8-year-old boy called Samuel, and his mother had wanted a son. She had been barren. She hadn't been able to have any children. And she prayed to God, and after a while, God opened her womb and gave her this son. And she promised, Lord, because you've given me this son, I'm going to make sure that I give him back to you to use. And so when he was old enough, she started bringing him to the temple to start to be the understudy for the prophet Eli, for the priest Eli. And he would stay in the temple sometimes overnight. And one night when he was about 8 years old, the Lord spoke to him. The Lord spoke to him. 1 Samuel 3:4. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. He heard a voice, but he didn't know who it was. He thought it was Eli. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. First things we notice about Samuel is that he was obedient. Sometimes we ignore a voice. You ever heard someone calling you and you knew they were calling you to do something, so you pretended as if you didn't hear? I was upstairs yesterday, and my wife was downstairs. And the door was shut, and I heard her very muffled call. And one part of me wanted to say, I could just sit up here, because what right does she trying to talk to me all the way downstairs? And she know the door is shut. And the real reason is because I didn't want to go downstairs. Because I knew from the tone of voice there was something she wanted me to do. So I sat in my chair upstairs for about, it wasn't really very long, but I was inside having a little conversation with myself. And I said, you're going to have to get up. So I opened the door and I said, What? What? I'm all the way upstairs. Why are you calling me? She said, Did you open these windows and leave them open? And I said, Yeah. See, sometimes when God calls, it's not that we don't hear his voice. You're all like me. You're upstairs and you don't want to get up. Here we see Samuel responded every single time. He got up and he had to get up. And he had to go to the prophet and say, Did you call me? A lot of us, we don't really want God to speak to us. You know why? He'd tell us a whole bunch of stuff we don't want to hear. Isn't that the truth? There's a whole lot of stuff that we might have to change that we don't want. So I went to the door and I shouted back, What? Because I knew why she was calling. Well, I didn't know why she was calling, but I could tell it was a work call, you know. It was, there's something down here you need to take care of. So, of course, I just took myself down the stairs and went and did what I was supposed to do. But a lot of us are like that with God. The Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not my son. Lie down again. Verse 7, the reason why Samuel went to Eli is because he had never heard the voice of God before. It says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. See, sometimes when we first come into to relationship, it may take a while for us to recognize when God is speaking to us. Sad to say, it may take a while. Now, they say when you're in a big crowded room, you can hear your name picked out. You may not hear nothing else. Someone will say your name and suddenly you'll kind of, someone call my name? See, if we were that sensitive to the Spirit, wouldn't that be great? Because that would get us out of a lot of mistakes, bad choices, bad decisions. But if we are listening and we belong to God, he says, my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they hear me. But lots of times we make our lives so noisy with all kinds of other stuff going on that although God is calling us, we're not sure because we got all this other noise going on. So we have to learn to recognize the Spirit. Now, as I said before, the voice of the Lord will never contradict the word of the Lord. A lot of people will come and tell you, give you advice, but before you take it, make sure it lines up with the word of God. People want God to speak to them when they won't even read his word. He's already speaking to you. You want more word, yet you haven't read the one he's already. It's like, you know, you're complaining about someone not writing you when you haven't opened the letters they've already sent you. We all want God to speak to us in a voice of thunder, my son. And yet he's already spoke to us through his word, which we won't even open. Read the letters he's already written to you before you ask him for more. Right? We want God to speak to us directly, but yet when was the last time we really, really read his word as if it was for us? So that's rule number one. You want God to speak to you? He's already speaking to you. He has spoken to you through his word. Are you listening to that first? Are you obeying that first? Because he's not going to speak to you audibly when he's already spoken to you through the written word and you haven't listened to that. But you're saying, Lord, speak to me. I need to hear a word from you. Well, open the book. Open his love letter. Open his word, right? His word will never contradict his voice. You know, he's not like some people. They'll write one thing and say something different. God is not like that. So if you think you hear a voice telling you to go do this, make sure it lines up with what the word says, because he will never contradict his word. Here it is again. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's how you know if you're a sheep, because you will follow the shepherd. I don't mean me. You'll follow the great shepherd. I'm just the under shepherd. It does mean that you should, if you have faith in what I'm telling you, because I try not to make it my words, but his words. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You should never be going to a church where you don't have trust in your pastor, because that's a waste of time. Because whatever I say is not going to mean anything to you. You have to trust that what I'm saying is from God, and that I have prayed and that I have been called to speak to you. If you don't believe that, you need to find another church. Won't hurt my feelings, but you need to find somewhere where you are going to follow the shepherd. If you're not going to follow the shepherd, then you're wasting your time. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. I am known of mine. If I'm a good shepherd, I want to be like Christ. I want to care about the sheep. I want to care about the sheep. God has put me right now so that I'm supposed to care about you. And I failed many times to do the job the way I'd like to, but I'm trying. You pray for me. Uphold my strength. Amen. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. God knows you. Do you know what that means? If God knows you, he knows what you're going through. He knows exactly what you need. That's why, as I've said so many times, when we pray, we're not updating God. You know that? We're not telling him anything he doesn't know. All we're doing is saying, I need help. We're giving him permission to come into our lives. He's not going to break down your door. He wants to be asked. You know, I've said this example so many times. You ever seen a child with a toy they can't get open? And if they just give it to you, you could open it in like 30 seconds, and they can't open it. And you say, give it to me. And they're trying to open it. And it's only when they've struggled and struggled, finally they come back and give it. And you open it in like 30 seconds. That's us with God. We fight the problem thinking we are big enough to handle it and we don't need any help. But if we would just give the problem with God and then trust. See, we say we give the problem to God, but we're like, let me help. Give it back to me. Look, this is how we try to tell God how to fix our. Do you know we do that? We tell God how to fix our problem. He must be shaking his head. What am I going to do with these people? Don't they know who I am? Don't they know who I am? Don't they know that I created them? I don't need no help. I can be God all by myself. But we say we give the problem. Even when we kind of do, we're telling him how to fix it. Well, God, this is what I want you to do. Now, any of you who are parents and are good parents, you know exactly what your child needs. You don't have to be told. Right? You know, we may be asking for the pacifier, and God wants to actually give us the milk. And so we get mad because we're trying to hold on to the pacifier, which is doing us no good. And if we would only let God fix the problem, take the pacifier, we'd actually get something. This is about being led by the Spirit. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you're his sheep, he knows you. That should really comfort you. He knows you. He knows you. That means more than just, like I said, me knowing Trump. I don't know. I know of President Trump, but I don't really know him. God knows you. He knows where you live. He knows exactly what happened to you this week. He knows the pain you've been through. He knows the circumstance. All he's waiting for is for you to be his sheep. The sheep don't decide where they're going. They don't decide where they're going to go. They follow the shepherd, and he leads them. Right? The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. See, sometimes, as I said, we're looking for God to come in a dramatic fashion. We're expecting, this is the Lord. We're expecting that kind of voice. But yet God doesn't want to speak to us in that way. Let me give you an example. In the Old Testament, there was the great prophet Elijah. And he had done so many things. He knew God. He had great miracles with God. But just because the queen Jezebel said she was going to kill him, he got a fear came upon him. Even though he had had this relationship with God and he ran away, not trusting God. And he just said, I'm sick and tired of this. I'm just about to give up. I can't handle what's going on in my life. Lord, I've done everything you asked me to, and now here comes this woman going to kill me. And you know the story. He went out into the desert and laid under a tree and said, kill me, Lord. Take me now. I'm done. I can't take this anymore. Just end it. I'm finished. The Lord said, get up. Stop having a pity party. We love to have those kind of parties, don't we? We look back on our circumstance and, man, it's just not right. It's not fair. Look at all the stuff that's happening to me. And I tried. I came to church. I prayed. And now look what's happened to me. Just kill me. Just take me now, Lord. I'm finished. You ready, Lord? Come on now, we have a pity party. We go through some things and we're ready to just give up. Lord, all right, I'm done. I'm not going back to church. That pastor, he said everything would work out and now it's gone worse. All right, Lord, I'm done. You ready to take me, Lord? We have our pity. This is the great prophet Elijah had a pity party. Lord said, get up. Get up. You don't know my plan. You can't see everything. I got so much more than you can understand. Get up. I'm not done with you yet. Get up. Get up. I want you to go somewhere. I want to talk to you. I want you to go all the way to the mountain in Sinai where I gave the law. I want you to get up because I want to have a talk with you, Elijah. 1 Kings 19:11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And now Elijah was saying, okay, I'm going to meet, God's going to speak to me, just like he did with Moses. I'm going to have the same experience as Moses. When God spoke to Moses, there was thunder and lightning and an earthquake and fire. I'm going to speak to God just like, God's going to show up in power. I'm going to show that Jezebel what for, because God's going to just come down in fire and thunder and lightning. All right, that's what I want to happen. I'm sick of what's going on. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind, there was a wind, a tornado, rent the mountains and break in pieces the rock before the Lord. But guess what? That was not how the Lord wanted to speak to him. The Lord wasn't in all of that show. You know, some people, they'll go to a service, and they treat it like a show. Man, that was a great service. Why? Because he hollered and spit and... And the Lord said, like he's about to die. That was a great service. You ask them the next day what it was about. It was a great service. It was a wonderful service. What was it about? What did you learn? What was the word? What was the scripture? It was a great service. Did you see how he preached? They think God's word is a show. Well, you know that's not going to happen with me. I'm not here to give you a show at all. I'm not here to, as I've said before, if the word doesn't move you, I'm not going to try. If the word itself doesn't move you, sorry, I'm not here for a show. So the Lord wasn't in the show. God was trying to speak to him in a way because he thought, okay, the lightning, the thunder, the storm, this must be it. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. Speak to me now. What does it say, verse 12? But the Lord was not in the earthquake. That should tell you something. When you go to certain churches or you see something on the TV and it looks like an earthquake and the fire of God, be careful. Listen very carefully because it may not be the Spirit of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Not everything that looks like God is God. After the earthquake, a fire. Okay, it wasn't the earthquake, but now comes this fire. Must be God in this. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit and really understanding when God is speaking to you. And after the earthquake, a fire. But guess what? The Lord was not in the fire. Not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. He must thinking, well, what's going on here? I thought he was going to be speaking to me with thunder and lightning, but then there was this still small voice. What was that? I thought I heard something. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering or the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Well, you told me to come here. Yeah, I told you to come here because I wanted you to see if you could recognize when I'm really speaking to you. A lot of people think God is speaking because there's a lot of noise and stuff. It's a show. But the true voice of God is really when you're by yourself and you need to hear a choice and a word. The Bible says you will hear a word, a voice that will say, this is the way, walk in it. Now, I'm not knocking all churches and the preaching. I'm not. I'm just saying you need to be able to distinguish between the fire and the earthquake and the still small voice. See, let me tell you something. To hear the still small voice, you're going to have to be quiet. Remember what I said before? Sometimes we can't hear God's voice because we're making too much noise. We're so busy with our lives. We're shouting and carrying on and got stuff going on. So when God's trying to speak to us, we don't hear that still small voice. For Elijah to have heard God's voice, there had to be a moment of quiet. When we pray, do we ever give God a chance to speak back to us? You ever talk to some people that you can't even get a word in edgeways? They start speaking, and you want to say something, but it's like that skipping rope when you're trying to jump in there. You're trying to dive in to get your turn. Do we do that with God? Do we just babble to him so much as if we're telling him anything? As I said before, you can't tell God your troubles. He already knows it. So to hear the still small voice when God is trying to speak to you, sometimes we have to quiet our lives, quiet our spirit, stop distractions, get rid of some people, distance yourself from the drama. Because sometimes there's so much drama going on, God's trying to speak to you, but you're confused. Go ahead, I think it's on.
Yes, I was thinking about something that happened. You know, I'm not easily to be moved by people, but this person kind of had me going. And they had the word, and they was real sharp with the word. And so, you know, for a minute, you know, I was really thinking like, yeah, you know, this got to be true, what they was telling me. And I was watching them because God say you will know them by their fruits. And so I continued to watch this person, and even, you know, even in some of their fruits, it lined it up with the word of God. But it's just showing you, you know, how cunning the devil is. It takes something. He knows what it takes to try to get you.
Amen.
And so this person just really had me kind of like fooled. And I was like, I had got to the point where I was almost confused. And so I said, Lord, I said, is this you or what? I said, I've had many people tell me you need to lead a church, but the way this person was doing it was really, really cunning. And so one day I came into the church, and I just sit there, and I said, okay, Lord, I need to hear from you. I need to know, you know, is you telling me something or not? And right away, God spoke to me. He said, something is going to happen today. You just watch and see. And I said, okay. And it was so amazing what happened because God showed me the real person. You know, it was a wolf in sheep clothing. And God showed me that because immediately as they entered the church, they had this spirit on them. And right away I knew, I was like, wow, this is amazing. And so then they called me after church. And right away I was able to speak to them and say, you know, that was not of God. And I said, you know, unless you humble yourself before the man of God, then, you know, you can't come into the church and think that you can just take over and have control of everything. So God showed me, you know, right away their spirit. And after that, you know, the Bible said that the devil will flee from you.
Amen.
You know, once you announce God, he will flee from you. So God just showed me that.
Amen. You know, that's so important because the Bible says that the shepherd, you hear his voice. And God has saved me so many times when I thought I had the right decision. But then at the last minute, he opened my eyes to see. I told you what happened last week, right? That was a pretty good scam that they pulled, you know, where they called up and said, you know, this lady was traveling from California, was moving to Milwaukee, and she was transferring to this church. And the bishop supposedly called me and told me, yes, she's coming from California. And then the next minute she calls me, and she's 3 hours away from Milwaukee and driving. And it was a pretty elaborate scheme, right? But you know what? The Lord opened my eyes. Opened my eyes. Of course, she had, while she's talking to me, you know, something hits her car. She needs help and need a credit card and all of this. It was a pretty good scam because you know what? They know that my heart is to help. And I was willing to help, and I would have done so. But you know what? The Lord opened my eyes. And he will do that if you will listen for the voice of God. If you will listen for the voice of God. I didn't put it in this lesson, but this happened to a Bible character named Jehoshaphat. He went and allied himself with a not-so-good king, Ahab, right? And they were going to form a confederation and go against their enemies. But when he came, he asked Ahab, he says, have all the prophets of God agreed to this? And he said, oh yeah, all of them say we should go. We're going to win. You know, there's danger sometime in listening to the majority. Because God is not a majority of people. He is God. And everybody else can be wrong, but God cannot be wrong. So Jehoshaphat said, well, you sure you've really got the mind of God on this? He says, well, Ahab says, well, there's this one prophet, Micah, and he has nothing good to say, so I don't even bother call him. Jehoshaphat says, well, I'd like to hear from him. You see, we have to be careful listening to make sure we're listening to the voice of God. Amen. So it was in the still small voice. In Genesis 3:8, it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. You know what that means? Adam and Eve, before they sinned, were used to hearing God's voice. They knew who that was coming in the garden. They knew who that was. Sometimes when you have a relationship, you can recognize that person's voice even in a crowd. There's only one time I got fooled with my wife's voice, and that was because it was her sister. And her sister sounds very much like her. And when we were dating one time, I called her house, and her sister picked up the phone. And let me just keep going. And so I had a pet name for her. I called her Princess. So she just let me keep talking to my princess. And then, you know, later on she really teased her because, oh, Princess, is it? But listen, God's voice is not easily, you can't be fooled if you are in a deep relationship. The devil will try and come and deceive you and make it, and you know how he'll do it? Through people. Why don't you do this? Isn't that what he said to Eve? Hath not God said, make it sound like God is the one telling you to do it. That's how he will come. But God will speak to you if you're ready to listen, and you have to be willing to be quiet in your life. You have to take away the distractions for you to hear sometimes God's voice. He'll try and speak to you without shouting. Sometimes he has to shout to let himself be heard. And in this case, this is the circumstance. Sometimes when you're going to be really, really messed up, God is trying to stop you and you didn't listen. So the only way he can work in your life is to bring circumstance. You know, if you keep telling the child the stove is hot, don't touch it. Sometimes the only way they learn is by touching it. There's a saying that says good judgment comes from bad experience. When you've been through some things, you've learned, hopefully. Isn't that horrible about human nature? We only really learn sometimes through negative stuff. We've had to go through it. Then we really learn, okay, I won't do that again. I won't go there again. I won't mess with that again. It's terrible that this is the only way it seems we learn, but that is the reason we experience so much negativity. Sister Browning.
As you were saying, I was out earlier, but I think the best way to be able to know God's voice is just through relationship. It's through spending time with him and his word. And don't expect, you know, to really recognize God's voice if you haven't got a relationship with him. So, you know, even with as a mother, you have a relationship with your child or your baby. You know, you recognize their cry. It could be a ton of babies in the room, but you recognize that baby's cry because you have a bond with them, you have a relationship with them. So I think one of the best ways you can really get to know God's voice and not be confused is to spend time with him in his presence and in his word. And so you as soon as he starts speaking to you, there's something that quickens on the inside and you know it's him. And then he'll confirm it through his word as well. So,
amen. Here's an example in the Old Testament where God had to use some circumstance because the person wouldn't listen. There was a man called Balaam in the Old Testament, and he had some means, divination, it was called occult, to try and bring curses, bring blessings. And as the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and they were going to the promised land, the people of the land of Moab were scared of them. So they went to this person, Balaam, to say, listen, we want you to bring a curse on Israel. So Balaam knew better because You know, the devil knows God's there. You know that? The Bible says that the demons tremble. So Balaam knew that he couldn't do anything about cursing Israel unless God allowed it. So in Numbers 22:10, and Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now and curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. So, you know, sometimes we do pray, we do ask God, and God says, no. Right? But do we want to take no? It's like a child when you tell them no. You know what they do? They start whining. They're going to wear you down. Please. Please. But he's doing it. And it's so annoying, isn't it? Just drives you nuts. And they just keep coming back. Please. And if you've had children, you know how they do. They don't give up. Especially if they know you might buckle. Balaam was like that. He wouldn't take no. God told him no. Don't do it. I told you no. But you know what? Even though God told him no, he kept on coming back. Well, and he kept on trying to put it on other people. They keep asking me. Well, I'm coming back to you because Johnny's asking me, can I go out with him? He wants me to go out. Please. No. Balaam kept coming back, asking over and over. You know what happened? You keep doing that with God eventually, he'll just get mad at you. You know what the next word is? Fine. Fine. Okay? Fine. See, because as a parent, you know what's going to happen most of the time. You know how it's going to turn out. You know it's not going to be good, so you say, fine. And you say it in that way. God said to Balaam, fine, go. Go then. But you know the story. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt, first of all, he said, go, don't go with them. But finally, after he kept on asking him, he said, go. So Balaam was happy. As soon as you tell them go, they're gone. They got their buddies and they're gone. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Now, when God tells you yes after he's first told you no, it's because he's angry with you. That's not a good thing. Not a good thing. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way. Now, they came to a place where there was a wall on each side, and there was only one way for the donkey and Balaam to go, and he couldn't see it. But there was an angel there with a sword about to kill him, to bring judgment. But the donkey could see it. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass and his two servants with him. And the donkey, the ass, saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside. The donkey had more sense. Sometimes our friends have more sense. They see we're headed for destruction. I'm not going with you there. No, you go, you're on your own if you're going to go down there. The donkey had more sense because he could see disaster. But sometimes we get so determined to have our own will, so determined this is how it must be, that we tell God what we want and we won't take no. See, that's the opposite of being led. Sheep don't do that. Goats do that. Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Need to ask ourselves that question. And the angel of the Lord stood on the path in the vineyard, a wall being on his side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself onto the wall. And here's how Balaam learned. It crushed his foot. Sometimes God has to crush our foot through circumstance because we wouldn't listen to just a simple no. So sometimes circumstances, because we're disobedient, come into our life that cause us pain. The donkey tried to stop and went to the side and pinned his foot against the wall and crushed his foot. So Balaam had some pain going on. So sometimes, because we won't listen to the still small voice, God has to bring circumstance and it will crush our foot. But you know what? Better our foot than our life. So you know the story. Balaam got mad with the donkey and started beating the donkey. Finally, God did a miracle and opened the donkey's mouth to tell him, listen, I'm trying to save your life. Sometimes in circumstances, I'm a bit like Balaam, I have to confess. Sometimes I'm so strong-headed, and it's only after things get to a certain style, I wake up and say, okay, God, I see. God has to take not a switch, a 2x4. Sometimes he has to take a 2x4 to us before we wake up and realize that God is trying to warn us of danger. So sometimes at the very last, if God may speak to us through circumstance. And if you can't hear that, then you're in a bad shape, because it means you're past feeling, because the circumstance is going to hurt. If you can touch a hot stove and not feel, you know what it means? You're dead. You're dead. Your nerves are gone. If you can touch a hot stove and still be not feeling anything, that's what leprosy does. Leprosy kills all the nerves, and that's how people damage themselves, because pain actually is actually good for your body. Pain is a warning that something bad is going on. And if you won't listen to pain, then you're in a bad shape. So sometimes God will bring us into circumstances that may cause us some pain so that we go, ow, that stove is hot. My mama was right. It will hurt. And if you got any sense, you won't do that again. How many of us have to touch a hot fire 2 or 3 times to really believe it's hot? But you know, in life we do that with God. We keep doing the same thing. They say a crazy person does the same thing, expects a different result. I don't know why this keeps happening to me. Ever said that? I don't know why this keeps happening. Well, what have you been doing? Have you been listening? I have to hurry. Let's go on. Part of being led by the Spirit is being in agreement with what God wants, not with what we want. I've used this example, the football example, a lot of times. At 3 o'clock, I think the Green Bay Packers is going to be playing Dallas, right? Now, all this week, what have they been doing? What has the team been doing? Practicing. They've got set plays, right, that they've all practiced. Okay, the coach calls the plays, and he's devised the plays. And if you follow the play, you have more chance of success than not. So here's how the play goes. Okay, we're going to call whatever the number is. The blockers are going to go this way to the left. We're going to have a fake over here. The blockers are going to go. We're going to pass to the running back, and he's supposed to follow the blockers. Now, what is the blocker supposed to do? Clear the way. Make the path easy. So now, if the running back just obeys the play and follows the blockers, guess what? The big 300-pound guys are in front. And what are they doing? They're beating down everybody else. They're opening up a path. And all he has to do is follow the play to make the touchdown. But no, I'm smarter than the coach. I'm going to go this way. So guess what? He runs into a whole pile of defenders who just pile on him and beat him up good. That's what we do. If we follow God's will, he's already mapped out the play. All you have to do is be in agreement and follow the rules. He said, I will go before you. I will lead the way. I'll be a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, and I'm going to lead you. Do you know they could have gone into Canaan in like 2 years? First time they came to the Red Sea was only 2 years from Egypt. But they decided, this is too much for us. We can't cross that land because the people over there are giants. We can't handle this. As if they had done everything by themselves already. Isn't that, you're looking back at them and you think, these people are crazy. Look what happened at the Red Sea, how... Was it them that defeated Pharaoh's army? Was it them that got Pharaoh to let them go? And now they're deciding, well, we cannot take this land. See, they stopped being in agreement with the Spirit of God. Whenever you do that, you're going to be in a wilderness for the next 40 years, going around in circles, because you never let God lead you. Okay, God said, okay, fine. Just keep going around in circles. Keep going around in circles. You don't trust me anymore, go around. The Bible said something amazing. And it took me a while. It said they tested God. Many times we think God is testing us. Wrong. It's we are testing God because we're being disobedient and trying his patience after he had mapped everything and he'd gotten us, you know, they had that commercial, the easy button. Why is things hard? Because the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. The way of a transgressor is hard. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden light. Now, if we're honest, most of the time we're struggling is because we decided to call our own play, right? We're not in agreement with the will of God. Once you get out of the will of God, you're going to struggle. This is what Jesus did. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form, even though he was very God himself in the flesh, he made himself of no reputation. I'll be speaking about this in second service. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of men, he humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient. Obedience. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. And rebellion, God equates it with witchcraft. Think about that. There is no substitute for perfect obedience. There were some people in the New Testament who thought they could substitute nearly as the same as good as. So they went and sold their property and they brought it to the church and said, this is all the money we got. Now, they didn't have to give anything, but they thought they could fool God. You can't fool. You can fool me. You can't fool God. God is not mocked. You can't fool God. So they thought they would pretend and, you know, bring some money and say, this is all that we got. Peter said, listen, while that land was yours, wasn't it all yours? You didn't have to do that. But you have not lied to man. We have to be careful who we try and deceive. Because you can't fool him. He knows the intents of your heart. But he's so merciful, so loving, and so gracious. We want success. We want blessing. We have to be in agreement with what God wants to do. To walk in agreement, you have to sometimes humble yourself and destroy the direction you want to go in to enable God's leading, right? Sheep will follow sheep. That's why there is no single word for sheep, is there? There's no single word for sheep. I'm going to finish on this. As I said, led by the Spirit means agreeing with God. Matthew 7:21. Here's a shocking thing that Jesus said. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only those that doeth the will of my Father. Even Jesus himself said, listen, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will. Not mine own will. Imagine if every day we got up and we said, Lord, what would you like me to do today? Who would you like me to speak to today? You know, we may not have a decision every week of like buying a house or a car or who we're going to marry. But in all thy ways, did it say only the big ones, the little ones? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he will what? Direct thy path. The more we let God direct even the small things, the better blessed we are. But the thing is, we make a judgment. Okay, this is too small. I'm not going to ask God about this. Now, it may look comical. You know, we may say, oh, that's a being a fanatic. He's praying about which bread he should buy, white or brown. Lord, which one do you want me? We may say that that's stupid, but who knows? Maybe there's some E. coli in the wheat one. Could be. If we in all our ways acknowledge him, he shall direct our path. Right? Which job should I take? Lord, you choose. You know, we only want to bring to God the big things. But what did I teach last week? You have been faithful in the what? See, we want God to give us the big things, and we haven't asked him about the little things. It's when we're faithful in the little things that look like, well, I'm not going to bother the master with this. We don't want to bother the master. He said, wait a minute, suffer the little ones to do what? He's interested in the small things. And you show trust when you give him the small things. And then he will repay with the bigger things. If you could stand with me, we didn't finish this one today, but we're talking about recognizing God's voice. Thing I want you to remember is don't let your life get so busy that you got so much noise going on that when God's trying to speak to you, you don't hear it. Number two, when he does call and you don't want to do it, don't be like Balaam. Don't keep whining about it. Now, if you're not sure if God has answered you, you can keep asking. But when you know he's told you no, don't make God change his mind. Because that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. We need to acknowledge him in all our ways to be led of him. If you truly trust God, even when he's leading you through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Even when it looks like this is, can't be the way he wants me to go, if we will truly yield ourselves fully to him, he will not let you go. He has got a plan for your life. He has got a purpose for your life. He doesn't deal in accidents and fate. There's no such thing. I don't believe in good luck for the Christian. No. My life is hid in Christ. I have a choice. I can either let my life be hid in Christ or I can go about making my own foolish decisions. But if I will submit my life fully to him, he will direct my path. There is nothing better. There can be nothing better than being in the will of God. Nothing better than knowing he is pleased with you. There's nothing better than knowing God is pleased with you. When he's looking down and saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Bible says if a man's ways please God, what? Even his what? Enemies. I'm telling you this, there's nothing better than being in the will of God and being led by the Spirit. And that's what he has called us to do, to be led by the Spirit. Amen. If you could stand, we're going to close this service. And I want you to understand and listen for that small voice. Make sure that you're listening. He will speak to you and you will know it. If you are his sheep, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. Just make yourself quiet. Make sure that your spirit is quiet. And you, when you ask God, listen for the... Prayer should be a conversation. Should not be a monologue. We shouldn't be just talking to God. We should be listening for him to speak to our spirit. And he will. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you today for your word. Help us, oh God, to learn to hear your voice. Jesus, to be obedient to your will. To acknowledge you. Hallelujah. In all